Our gospel lesson text this morning comes from 2 Chronicles, beginning in chapter 35, verse 20. That's found on page 333 in the Bibles that are in your seat. I'll give you a moment to find that if you're using your Bible from home. Chronicles is just a little bit left of Psalms and Job. Second Chronicles chapter 35, beginning in verse 20, and we took a look at this passage last week, and this morning we look at this passage again and see two other things that God speaks to us from these words. This is God's word. After all this, when Josiah had set the temple in order, Necho, king of Egypt, went up to fight at Carchemish on the Euphrates. And Josiah marched out to meet him in battle. But Necho sent messengers to him, saying, "What quarrel is there between you and me, O king of Judah? It is not you I am attacking at this time, but the house with which I am at war. God has told me to hurry, so stop opposing God who is with me, or he will destroy you." Josiah, however, would not turn away from him, but disguised himself to engage him in battle. He would not listen to what Necho had said at God's command, but went to fight him on the plain of Megiddo. Archers shot King Josiah, and he told his officers, "Take me away, I am badly wounded." So they took him out of his chariot, put him in the other chariot he had brought to, and brought him to Jerusalem, where he died. He was buried in the tombs of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for him. Jeremiah composed laments for Josiah, and to this day, all the men and women singers commemorate Josiah in the laments. These became a tradition in Israel and are written in the laments. The other events of Josiah's reign and his acts of devotion, according to what is written in the law of the Lord, all the events from beginning to end are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, son of Josiah, and made him king in Jerusalem in place of his father. Here ends our reading this morning. We have a response of thankfulness printed for us in our bulletins. Let us give thanks to the Lord. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we ask that you would change us, that you would use this time to conform us more into the image of your Son, which is your will. So Jesus, preach to us by this your word and by your Spirit. Cause our hearts to be moldable, pliable, shapeable by your Spirit and your word, that we would readily receive it, that we would go forth in the power of your Spirit, which dwells in us, to live according to these instructions you give us about who you are, about what your gospel is like. Indeed, Lord, cause us to walk in a manner worthy of your gospel. Through this time, we ask, Jesus, in your name, amen. We all know that it's the case, sadly, in fact, that many marriages have been split up because the husband or the wife is called away from the home for some work assignment in another city and gets involved adulterously, whether for a night or for a continued period, with somebody that is not his or her spouse. And we can think about what the reasons are for this, and we can see why it could be an understandable thing, because when you're removed from your own circumstances in your house and around your kids and your spouse, that you can forget. You can forget who you are. You can forget what your role is, where you've been placed in life. We can also see that a very helpful fix for that, and for those of you who do travel with your work and find yourself away from a spouse, kids, if you have kids, is to not forget. In other words, to keep remembering your spouse at home, your kids at home. I always think, and I've never been in a close situation where adultery has been a temptation for me. It's just never been my lot in life, I guess, to be in those kind of situations. But I always think about, and it's helpful to me, wherever I am, to think about how valuable to me my wife and my kids are to me. And what trouble would be avoided and gets avoided in my life when I remember that. Boy, what a lot of damage I could do. Yeah, I have five daughters, for those of you who don't know me. What a lot of damage I could do to six lives, my wife and my kids, and beyond, through me having adultery. Carrying on to grandkids and so forth by such an act or a continued relationship. What damage I could do. But one thing that's helpful to me is this idea of remembering, as Solomon said, and rejoicing in, the wife of my youth, and seeing the blessing and the good that I can do in my life by loving them well. And I can love them well by being devoted to them, by being loyal to them, wherever I might be. This passage here this morning speaks to us about this every moment, every day, every week, every month of our life kind of commitment that is helpful for us to have. It's a commitment that Josiah forgot. Now, Josiah, if you've been following along here, and if you read earlier, Josiah was a wonderful king, one of the best kings over all of Judah, the southern kingdom of God's people. And in fact, at the front of this passage here, verse 20, it refers to this. It says, after all this, and it's been talking about all the good things that Josiah did for the Lord, for himself, and for his people over whom he reigned. After all this, when Josiah had set the temple in order. Okay, so we just stop there and we say, Josiah was a great, great king. He really was. And the temple was in disrepair. People had not followed God's law. People had not celebrated the festivals that they were supposed to celebrate there in Old Testament Israel for their entire lifetimes. Josiah had an unfaithful parent who was king over God's people and had not led God's people in the right way. And so this took a great courage for him to go forward and to break the family cycle, so to speak, and to lead God's people the way God's law commanded him to lead them. And he does that. He takes a temple that's in disrepair, and priests and Levites who were basically in retirement of some sort, and he brings them out and gets them consecrated, and they celebrate the Passover meal and festival like they had not celebrated for their entire lives. He's done all this great work, but yet Josiah forgets, doesn't he, here in this passage, to listen to the voice of the Lord. And this speaks to us, and we'll talk about that here. But first, as we start here, If you'd like to fill out blanks in an outline, you're free to do that. If you want to just listen, that's fine too. But if you're a blank filler outer, and that's in the dictionary, I guarantee it, filler outer. here we go. First of all, God says to you and to me, love God each moment and each day. This passage, big point in this passage, overall point of this section of God's holy word communicates to us, love God each moment and each day. We see this in verse 20, in verses 22 and 24. Josiah is a negative example of this. He forgets at this occasion to love God and to follow God and what God says to him. Conversely, this passage says to us this, and this is something we can fall into very easily. Here's your next line in your outline if you're following along. Do not rely on past spiritual accomplishments. This is the big point with this passage. We've talked about some smaller points last week, and we'll talk about one other secondly here this morning. But the big point of this passage is do not rely on past spiritual accomplishments. You know that I've told you before, if you've been around a while, that as I'm out and about in the school and in town and at a store or wherever I am, at somebody's birthday party in my neighborhood or whatever kind of place I'm at, when the question comes around to me, by the way, what do you do? As soon as I mention that I'm a pastor, I know that if the person has not been in the church for a long, long time, they clearly reveal it to me, unbeknownst to them. Because what they begin to do is give me their greatest past spiritual accomplishment. I was an acolyte when I was 11 years old. Or, I have an uncle who's a pastor. And it's like that's supposed to impress me. But according to this passage here, no, that doesn't impress God. And it should not impress us. We should not be impressed about ourselves because of our past spiritual accomplishments. I was an acolyte, by the way, when I was in middle school. That for those of you who are from a background that doesn't have acolytes, it's, you know, some churches have candles in the front, and they light the candles at the beginning of a worship service. The acolyte is the little kid who comes up and lights the candle. But that doesn't count for a hill of beans before the Lord, and it doesn't count in your day-to-day living before the Lord either. As you seek to live in a way where God can freely bless you, we see here from Josiah, that doesn't work. Josiah did the greatest thing he could have possibly done with his life. He gave his goods, he gave from his wealth, he led God's people at great risk to himself, he banished false worship, which made a lot of people mad in Israel. His past spiritual accomplishments were about as great as any human beings in the history of the world were. But Josiah, perhaps here, relies on his past spiritual accomplishments. At least he thinks from his past spiritual accomplishments, he doesn't have to listen when the Lord tells him something different than what he was going to do anyway. You know, the Lord was going to, Josiah decided he was going to fight Pharaoh, Necho, the king of Egypt. But the king of Egypt had come to fight with Babylon up in the Euphrates River. And the Lord had spoken to Necho, king of Egypt, and it said, go back, Josiah. Don't fight, or he'll destroy you. And we see this here in this passage, and God sometimes speaks through a donkey, sometimes he speaks through foreign kings, sometimes through a priest or a prophet or somebody else. But here he speaks through Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and the king of Egypt says, so stop opposing God who is with me, or he will destroy you. Or further down, verse 22, in the second part of that, it says that Josiah would not listen to what Necho had said at God's command. So God had told Josiah, through Necho, to pull back, to not engage in this fight, to let Babylon and Egypt have it out, and to stay home and be safe. They weren't even fighting on Israelite territory. It was way over in modern-day Iraq, Babylon. But Josiah doesn't listen. And this relates to loving God. Jesus said in John 14:21 and 23 and John 14:15 and a whole bunch of places, "He who loves me will keep my commandments." Jesus says, "You want to show me that you love me? Keep my commandments. Do what I say." And maybe you, if you're a parent, that you've essentially said this to your own kid. If you want to love me, do what I say. That'll make my life so much easier. If I tell you, go and get this and bring it back. Go and get this and bring it back. That's how you can show your love for me. And Jesus says the same thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the way we can show our God our love. But Josiah doesn't do this. He doesn't keep the commandment of the Lord. He doesn't listen to him. And this is what gets him in trouble. Now, let's talk about this for a little bit. What happens when we keep loving God as our focus? So what we're saying here this morning is that loving God should be our focus. I remember when I was in campus ministry back at Indiana University, there was a student who was named Brad. And Brad always had this, he's a bigger guy, good looking, kind of looked like Brad Pitt, but he had a bigger, nicer smile. He was just always friendly. Everybody liked Brad. And I remember Brad one time heard a Bible study or talk there on loving God, and he kind of went in this little phase where I remember him one time after a meeting saying, "John, you know where I'm carrying the speaker?" He was carrying a big speaker like down there. And I said, "No, Brad, why are you carrying that speaker?" He says, "Because I love God." But that's it. That's right. All our actions in our day-to-day life, just like the spouse who's away from his wife, why are you not getting yourself in a situation where you might enter into an adulterous relationship? Because you love your spouse. And we're away from our God physically, so to speak, every day of our lives. Jesus is gone and he's physically raised from the dead and he's gone up to be with the Father in heaven. And we have this separation today, which will not be someday when he comes back. We'll be with him, or when we die, we'll be with him. But right now we're in this separation from him, and maybe that's what Josiah was feeling here. And he forgets about loving God each day, each moment. But when we keep loving God as our focus, we can get a pretty good example of this. And here's your next blank. Jesus is our example of this. Jesus is our example of this. Jesus has been separated from his Father, coming as a man upon this earth. And what does he do? Well, he loves and obeys God, even unto death. We read about this in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Jesus obeyed God even when it cost him his life. He loves his Father unto death. What does that result in? How does that work out for Jesus? Loving his Father, each moment, keeping that as his focus and carrying that out each moment of his days while he was here on earth. How does that work out? It works out, and here's your blank, exaltation. That's what Philippians tells us. Right after it talks about Jesus being humble and taking on the form of a servant, taking on human nature, following his Father, loving his Father, obeying, loving his Father, even when it cost him his life. How does this result in him? It results in his resurrection. It results in his ascension. It results in him being seated at the right hand of God the Father. It results in him having everybody confess that he is Lord. It results in everybody having to bow their knee to him, to give him honor. That's your blank there. Every knee shall bow before him. So we say, pretty good result for keeping love of God, love of the Father, consciously in our heads. And so we see here a contrast between two sons of David's, don't we? The first son of David, Josiah, forgets this for a while. He did it really well throughout all his life, loving God each moment and each day. And that carried him through doing some great things for the Lord and for the Lord's people, of restoring the temple and getting worship going right again in the land. But he forgets it for a while, and it costs him his life. And so we look to Jesus, who, when he gets close to the end of his life, remembers to love God the Father. Even though he knows it's going to cost him his life, he still loves and obeys his Father anyway. And so that's our example in life, that we in our lives always have to remember in our heads and in our hearts each moment of each day to love God. Wake up and love God. It's easy for us to rest on past spiritual accomplishments or to learn a certain body of material. Maybe we get to a place where we feel like, I know the Bible pretty well, or I know theology pretty well, or I have this position or that position in the church. Those things can all become past spiritual accomplishments. And we can have all of those things and be wickedly mean to people and impatient and unmerciful and lack graciousness toward those who are around us. Because what are we doing? We're relying on those past spiritual accomplishments instead of saying, God, I love you, and you've told me to be patient with this person here. You've told me to tell the truth here and now. You've told me to do what's right, even though it's going to cost me something in my life. So we remember each moment of each day to love God. So that's our last blank here in this section. Approach each day and hour with loving God on your mind. It's the way of Jesus. It's how he accomplished the gospel for us, by loving his Father each moment. And after all, it brought him the greatest reward. And that's the message for us here too. Josiah got himself in a bunch of mess. It even cost him his life because he forgot to love God each moment of each day. And we see with Jesus that when Jesus remembers to love God each moment, that carries him through his suffering, carries him through his trials, carries him through the cross, and he is exalted. Secondly, this morning, after talking about now here loving God each moment and each day and how important that is for us as believers, we recognize this from this passage. God says to us, and it's your number 2 point in your outline, give honor to Jesus. Give honor to Jesus. We see this in verses 24 and 25 and then in verse 1 of chapter 36 there. Giving honor to the king. Josiah is honored nonetheless. Yeah, he blows it at the end of his life and it costs him his life. But we see the people's response here in verses 24 and 25. He was buried in the tombs of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for him. They give honor to the son of David, don't they? Verse 35 or 25, Jeremiah composed laments for Josiah. And to this day, all the men and women singers commemorate Josiah in the laments. These became a tradition in Israel and are written in the laments. So we see that it's good and right for God's people to honor the son of David. Indeed, in following along in your outline, this giving honor to Jesus is one of the most important things you can do in your life. Perhaps this can describe your life, giving honor to Jesus. In John 12 that we read this morning, we see that God's people got it right, at least for a day on Palm Sunday. They see this God-appointed king, son of David, Jesus. And they give him honor. And they say, you are the one who will save us. Praise be, blessed be the king of Israel. And that's what we're supposed to be like. That's what we're supposed to do, to give honor to Jesus. And this is a key, this is a blank for you, this is a key to you experiencing God's blessing. You know, that was the case for Old Testament Israel, and it's the case for us today. That is, next line for you, God blesses his people through his chosen king. That's the way God set things up. And kings are blank there. That's the way God set things up in Old Testament Israel. God's people weren't just blessed with no leadership. In fact, the book of Judges is a book that proves the point that God's people without a king get demolished over and over again. They get oppressed over and over again. And what's the line that comes through the book of Judges over and over again at the end of each one of these periods of another judge? For there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. What do God's people need? A king. This is why God prescribes a king in the law of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 17. He says, you will have a king over you, and it will be the king that I choose for you. And we see that king arrive with David, and then all the sons of David that come after David, and then finally in Jesus, the son of David. God's intent, and as we look at the passages that talk about God's king over God's people, God's intent is always to bless his people through his chosen king. And we see how this is true today. Jesus, son of David, comes on the scene and says, the kingdom is at hand. And Jesus is worshipped as king. He's given honor as king. And he always receives that worship. He's asked by Pilate, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, it is as you say. King is a term that Jesus is very comfortable with. He is the son of David, descended from David through his father Joseph and on up through. And the Gospels take great care to let us know that Jesus descends from King David himself. And Jesus goes on and in this kingly role declares that blessing is only through him. We know that. Blessing to any person living on this earth today only comes through Jesus, God's chosen king. So we want to be connected to the Father's chosen king and to be in right relation to him, responding correctly to him. We want to be a good citizen of this God-chosen king. So what does that involve us in? Well, it involves us in honoring him. And as we honor him, this involves us in several things. And here's your A, B, and C. As we honor this king, as we are being in right relation with this king that God the Father has chosen, that is Jesus, this involves us in giving Jesus praise. Okay, that's your A point there. Giving Jesus praise, worshiping him. The Israelites honored their king who died in battle by writing laments about him, commemorating his greatness and how much they missed him. How much they were in sorrow over not having him with them anymore there, because he was a great king. And he died in battle. Maybe it was a mistaken battle, but he still died fighting for them. And so they commemorated him with these laments and they gave him praise. But we today, as Christians, do the same for Jesus. We honor Jesus because he's our king who died in battle. Not in a mistaken battle against the king of Babylon or Egypt, but in a battle over sin and death. The battle Jesus came and went out and succeeded in fighting was the battle that he engaged in on the cross. When he put to death sin and death in his cross and resurrection, And so we as Christians give praise to King Jesus, who died for us in battle and rose for us again to overcome death, which was our ultimate battle for each of us. And so we give praise to Jesus. And what we're doing is we're doing like the people do here for Josiah, the son of David. We do for Jesus, the son of David, the same thing they did. We commemorate our great King Jesus and declare what he has done for all his people. Second thing we do, and it's a form, a way in which we can praise Jesus, is that is B, we do this by singing to him. And in verse 25, as in much of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, the writer of Chronicles emphasizes this, that singing is very much an appropriate way to honor, to worship, to glorify God, to praise him. The Israelites honored their king who died in battle by singing of him. And we do the same. We sing of Jesus, literally, here in a service of worship, in our homes, if we sing hymns or other songs of praise to the Lord with our spouses and kids. We can even be seen doing this, some of us, in our cars, just as long as no one's around, maybe. Singing of and to Jesus, all kinds of places as we mow our yard or whatever we're doing. These times are all appropriate for us to give praise to Jesus. We're shown to do this in this passage, to give praise to the Son of David, Jesus, by singing to him. Verse 25. And then thirdly, honoring Jesus involves a sin. See, choosing to have him lead your life. We give honor to Jesus by choosing to have him lead our life. Now, God's people, Josiah dies, and they honor him in another way. Besides their praising him, commemorating him with laments, besides their singing to him, they honor Josiah in another way, don't they? They place his son as king over them. And at least in part, this is a way in which they keep Josiah with them. Literally, his physical DNA is before them. And Josiah, in a sense, lives on in his son Jehoahaz, his son, another son of David, who then reigns over them. But we see the point here that Josiah is honored in this additional way. He is so respected, he is so loved, that they place his son over them as king. We do the same. Except that our king is not like Josiah, alive again in his son Jehoahaz. But rather, we know that our son of David, though he has died, yet he does live. Jesus rose from the dead. And he ascended to a greater throne than Jesus' own people had imagined. They thought he was coming to reign on a physical throne in physical Jerusalem in the midst of Israel. But Jesus came to do battle and then to reign over not just them, but over people across the world from his heavenly throne. And so what happens when a person comes to faith in Jesus? Essentially what they're doing is Chapter 36, verse 1. They're placing the Son of David, Jesus, over their lives. They're saying, Jesus, lead me. Jesus, be my king. Jesus, be my protector over sin and death. You know how you went to battle over sin and death and the cross and the resurrection. Do that for me. Win that battle for me. But we do it in our lives as Christians as well. Always, each day, and this relates to our first point, having Jesus be our leader, our King, our risen Son of David, lead us and guide us and be our shepherd. Just like God's people here in this passage had this risen Son of David one who had arisen from the loins of Josiah, had come from him and had grown up before them. Jesus likewise rose up from the grave, and he rises up to lead us because he loves us. He knows what is good for us. He gives us instructions on how to live in a way that represents his character, and this is great blessing to us. And so we remember that one of the ways that we honor Jesus is that we allow him to lead our lives. So give honor to Jesus by giving him praise. Give honor to Jesus by singing of him. And give honor to Jesus by choosing him to lead your life. Through your praise of him, through your singing to and of him, by your submission to his kingship over you, your life is to give, here's your last blank, honor to Jesus. This is what this passage tells us. Give honor to the Son of David, the King God has chosen to lead us, that is Jesus. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we are grateful to you that you have loved us and given us a king. You choose always to bless your people through a king, and this King Jesus has indeed blessed us. Jesus, we thank you for being obedient to your Father, even unto death, that sin might be extinguished from us, that the guilt of our sin might be taken away, that the punishment for our sins might be carried out upon you, Jesus, in that death on the cross, instead of upon us when we die. Thank you, Jesus, for your obedient death upon a cross. Thank you for going to battle for us over sin and death. Cause us to have you as our King. Cause us to each moment and each day to think about loving you and how we can love you by doing what you say to us. And cause us to be grateful in the midst of all that for what you have done. We do not deserve your going to the cross, but you have done that for us. And you have wiped away all our sins as we have believed in you. So cause us to do what's right in turn, that is to love you with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, just as you did that, Jesus, to your Father during your time upon this earth. Amen.